Hi, Sue Hall here. It's 2021 and welcome to the... Hi, it's Sue Hall here and welcome to the 14th podcast in our fourth series of Talking the Talk. I can't do this, can I? I'm going to start one more time. Third time lucky. It's because I'm looking at the wrong introduction. Hi, it's Sue Hall here. And welcome to the 14th podcast in our fourth series of Walking and Talking the Dis Out of Dyslexia, hosted by the whole Dyslexic Society. On March 27th, 2021, I was privileged to be part of TEDx Bear Creek Park TED Talks, and I met some incredible individuals, and I'm so excited today to be able to introduce to you the curator of TEDx Bear Creek Park, which is now called TEDx Surrey, I believe, but he'll tell you about that. And this is the man who made it all happen. So I'm very excited to introduce to you Alan Warburton. Warburton, yes?
That's
okay. Okay, now I'll start that. So I'm very excited to introduce you to you. I can't do this, can I? What's wrong with me? So I am very, very excited today to introduce to you Alan Warburton. Welcome. Welcome, Alan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sue. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is exciting because very few people will know this, but we may need to start at the beginning. Your background is in education, I believe. Would you like to start there?
Sure, yes. It's interesting that it was education because I wasn't very good in school. Didn't do particularly well, muddled my way through. But when it came to selecting a career, teaching seemed to be a natural because I love working with kids. And so I started my career in England, teaching in a school in Bromley in Kent, secondary school. And then I went on a 3-year contract to the Bahamas.
Whoa.
So I taught down there for 3 years, three wonderful years there. I was teaching mainly physical education with youngsters who were absolutely fabulous natural athletes. So that was a real joy. And then I came from the Bahamas to Chetwynd, BC, which is like going from the frying pan into the fridge. And Chetwynd was just for 1 year, which allowed me then to come down to the Richmond School District, where I worked for 30 years as a teacher and then a vice principal, and the last 20 years as a school principal.
That's absolutely incredible. Were you always teaching phys ed, or did you branch out into other things?
That was, phys ed was what I was trained for. That's what I always gravitated towards. I really enjoyed teaching, but my love, if you like, was coaching teams. I just really enjoyed coming together with a group of people, kids who were good and keen at what they were doing and working together to get some success. And so that's, yeah, basically that was it. But later on, of course, I moved into administration, which took me away from the physical education side.
Well, a different version of coaching teams. But yeah. Now, but this is now making a lot of sense because you are the person who puts together the TEDx team. That's beginning to make perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it is something I love to do. There's no question. So you're right. You're building a team as a school principal for sure. And the team is made up of a variety of different groups. You've got the parents, you've got the kids, you've got the teachers, non-teaching staff and so on. And the same thing now with TEDx is a number of different teams that we work with to build the actual overall event.
Absolutely. Now, in the middle of all this, you became an exceptionally experienced Toastmaster.
Yes, I did. I sort of stumbled into that. It was interesting because as you would imagine, as a school principal, there are many opportunities for public speaking. And I did that for all those years. And then I retired. And then I found after a short time that I was getting quite bored because I'd gone from being incredibly busy to not busy at all. And I'd heard of Toastmasters. And I thought, well, that'll be interesting. I'll go and join a Toastmasters club. And it was there I quickly learned that all the things I'd been doing in public speaking for the previous 20 years were not very good. They could have been much better. So yes, I joined Toastmasters in 2003. I've been a Toastmaster for 18, 19 years now.
Wow.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Found very quickly that it was something that I could get into in a much deeper way. So, you know, I became president of the clubs and this sort of thing. And then I went into contests and found that I could do reasonably well there. I was fortunate enough to qualify for the World Championship of Public Speaking on a couple of occasions. And then it was really about 4 or 5 years ago that TEDx came along, and I'm still very much connected with Toastmasters, but my connection with Toastmasters is not what it was, because a lot of my energy now goes into TEDx.
I can understand that. So where did you go for the World Championships? Where?
In 2009, I was in San Francisco. And in 2013, it was Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow, that's amazing. I've heard about these wonderful competitions from Tanya as well, who's one of our podcast people. But that's quite remarkable. So you said when TEDx came along, how did it come along?
Well, it just did come along. That was the interesting thing. In fact, I had just completed a year as the district director of District 21, which is all of Southern BC. And I was in Toastmasters, and I was kind of thinking I wouldn't mind having something different at this point. And a friend of mine, who was also a Toastmaster, decided to be a licensee for TEDx White Rock. And he came to me and said, would you be interested in being the curator? I knew nothing about TEDx at that time. So I looked into it and went to the website and had a look around and talked to some people. And I thought, you know, that might be interesting. So that's basically how I got into it. It became much more than that, actually. Not only was I curator, we built a curation team. We were the people who found the speakers for the event. But then once we found the speakers, we didn't have any coaches. So then I became the lead coach as well and got a coaching team. But at the end of that year, the person who was leading it really didn't want to move it to beyond a 100-person event. With TED, to go beyond the 100-person limit, the licensee must have attended a major TED conference. And I don't think he had any intention of doing that or really wanting it to be more than just a small, intimate type of event. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, you know what? There's no TEDx event in Surrey. There's 500,000 people here. Surely we can do something where it could be bigger than that. So in that 1 year of doing it, my dream of, yeah, we can do something which is bigger than that and can really help the community. Mm-hmm. So that's when it started to percolate and throw it up.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'll try this.
Oh dear. If you want something done, give it to a busy person, right?
Right.
Oh dear. So how did you find your experience with TED itself? Start with the big organization. Are they easy to work with? Is it a complicated system?
That's a very interesting question. I mean, my connection with TED, my first real connection with TED, was when I attended the TED International Conference at the Trade and Convention Center in Vancouver in April of 2019. And I was just blown away. I mean, it was brilliant. It was 5 wonderful days. And from the moment I arrived there, I felt as though I was being treated like a VIP. And the whole week was outstanding. And my thinking was, how can we think about getting something like this on a local level? And how do you take that professionalism, that everything being done so well? But the other side of this, and I know I see this in myself too, as the licensee, there are times, and TED is very, very strict in a number of different ways. And especially in terms of content guidelines, and they've been really tight with us, and they've, I understand where it's coming from. They have to make sure that their standards are maintained. And so there are times when I found it's been a challenge, but most of the time they're very supportive. The other side of it is I do see it myself. I know I've spoken to teachers and other, not to teachers, but to speakers and other people connected with TEDx Surrey now about things, and they've been a little, they haven't been too happy. But it's we need to maintain our standards too. So there's that aspect of it where TED needs to keep maintaining their standards throughout.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, TED is so unbelievably well respected. I just remember the very, very early days, and it was all the big conference, wasn't it? There were no TEDx's. You just got maybe 1,000 people or so, in, maybe more, in a great big conference room, and it cost a lot of money to go to there. And it was all the leading edge people of everything that was leading edge in the world, right? And yep. And they just set the bar so high from the very beginning. And the speakers they've had have been incredible. Do you have a favorite speaker that you listen to?
I do. And funny enough, the name is always one that's it. Rita Pearson is her name. And she was an educator, and the title of her talk was "Every Kid Needs a Champion," and it's a wonderful talk. I use it actually for our information meetings for prospective speakers, because it's 7.5 minutes, and it's to help people see that you don't need 12 or 15 minutes to get your idea across. In 7.5 minutes, people were just hanging on to every word. The sad thing was that Rita died just 2 or 3 months after she made her talk, but the legacy is there now. Many millions of people have watched her talk, and it's a fabulous talk for educators and for other people too.
I think I remember watching it, because I think you did put it on the list at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you were blown away by the professionalism of this big talk, TED, that you went to. And then what did you do?
Well, I brought back a few core ideas to our leadership team. By that time, we had been going for 1 year. With me going to the major event, it allowed us to then have more than 100 people. So at our next event, then 2020, we had over 900 at the Bell Performing Arts Center. So it went from 100 to over 900. And I think a lot of that had to do with some of the lessons that I learned from particular individuals too. There was the opportunity to talk with TEDx leaders from around the world. And one or two that I spoke to had been doing it for 8 or 9 years at that time. And I loved what they said and how they built their program and their event. And it really inspired me to think, okay, this is certainly not a short-term thing.
No.
You're looking at 3 to 5 years, at least, to lay your foundation. And then you build from there, and it can then become something that is very special if you've done things correctly at the beginning.
Wow, that's quite the long-term project. And I've lost what I was going to say. I can cut that bit out. This is the best part about doing just audio. The editing is easy. It's really easy. But where were we going? So the long-term project. So then you came back and you talked to your leadership team. And by this time you had coaches, and you had some sort of process to invite people to come and be speakers, and you just built on that, just went
pretty much. So yeah, it's been we've got a pretty clear idea of the direction we want to go in, but we definitely didn't know the details. So things have been added and modified and adapted and changed as we've gone along. So now we have a very active and incredibly committed leadership team of 8. We've got a curation team who's responsible to find the speakers. And this has been a team that's changed quite a bit, and interestingly has involved a number of ex-TEDx Pear Creek Park speakers. So we've got people who've had the experience of working with us, which is great, because it continues on with what we're trying to do. And then we've got the leadership, the coaching team under Tanya, which has evolved beautifully over the last 3 years. And I can see it's such a rich experience, and you would know that, Sue, because you've been through that. And now we're at the point now where over the last couple of months, we'll be working on developing a marketing team. And I'm moving into that now with what I think is going to be a very powerful arrangement, which we haven't had to this point. Because we want to move to the next level, and the next level really for us is to get to the point where when tickets go on sale for our event, and let's assume it's at the Bell Performing Arts Center, there's 1,050 seats there, that within a very short period, we're sold out.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we look at building our live stream event. So we have two separate events, if you like. The live stream would always be hopefully a free event, but we need to have the sellout to allow us to be able to do that. And there's one girl in the UK, TEDx Exeter, Claire Kennedy is her name. And she's built a wonderful organization there. And with her particular TEDx, when the tickets go on sale, they are sold out on the first day.
Wow.
You cannot get a ticket on the second day. So, you know, you have to buy it right then. And then the last statistic I heard, which was maybe 2 years ago, their live stream attracted over 35,000 people from around the world.
That's amazing.
So it is amazing. And they've been going now for 10 or 11 years. So this is a cumulative thing. And we recognize that. And we know that to get to the point where we sell out quickly, may not happen this year or next year, mm-hmm. but that's what we're moving towards. And we need a strong marketing background with people who understand what it is we're trying to do.
Absolutely. And understand the modern world, because the marketing channels are so different. I find this with my work, like what I call in the good old days to publicize what I do. I would book a room in the library and we'd have a free information session and I'd hand out business cards. And I mean, this is a completely foreign world to most of the youngsters, right, who just find everything on social media, right? And I've been trying to get my head around all the different ways to advertise Facebook and invite people and share. And some people you can and some people you can't. It's a nightmare for me at my age, right? So you're absolutely right. If you have the best product in the world, you still have to let people know about it. And that sort of brings me full circle to my TED Talk, because that was the most amazing opportunity for me to be able to share a little bit of what we do, because it's such a very well-respected platform. Everything about what the feeling that you had in when you went into that Vancouver Convention Center about it being so professional is very much the feeling that I think all 12 of us had, that the whole process was so professional, the emails and the next step and the opportunities to share our talks and the coaching and it was just remarkable. And I honestly don't think any of us realized what we were letting ourselves in for in terms of the time commitment, and no complaining whatsoever, because I mean, you know, not to be too mercenary, but it was all free. I mean, that's even more remarkable, right? Because we had top level of everything, and we get top level advertising, so to speak. So we're very grateful, I know that much. And it does need to get out there, because there are so many people with so many good things to say, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's very gratifying to hear that, Sue, because obviously that's what we're striving for with our speakers and anybody associated with TEDx. Sorry, that's the feeling we want for people to have, that, you know, we're striving to be professional in everything that we do. And we know that's easier said than done, but we're, you know, we're working very hard to try and come to that level. And there's no question that the TED brand opens many, many doors. It yes. really is very helpful.
Yes, it absolutely does. I've had a few invitations to do podcasts on other people's podcasts, and that came through TEDx. So I'm very, very grateful for that. So this is my question to you. Have you ever given a TEDx talk?
No, I haven't. I was invited Why? To do, I was invited to do one at TEDx Stanley Park a few years ago.
Oh.
I even went to an information session that they had. And then the reason I didn't do it was because I really didn't have, at that point, an idea that was a compelling idea. I mean, I had lots of different ideas, but not one thing. I mean, your idea was something you are passionate about, and you know you're incredibly knowledgeable about. So it didn't work for me that way.
Oh dear. So do you have an idea what you would do now?
Well, I think if I did one, and it's unlikely because of the fact that I'm so involved on the other side of the TEDx situation right now, is it would probably have something to do with service to others, which I think is a real issue for us right now in our world. There's a wonderful quote from Mahatma Gandhi who said, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." And I do believe that there are so many things, so many opportunities for people to serve, and they don't take them for whatever reason. But serving comes back to you in spades. It's not that you do it to cut them something coming back. As you give, and is it just a wonderful reciprocal thing, that cycle that happens. So it would probably be in that area. And I also look at particularly the political situation, and I see people who have, in many cases, no idea of service. Just you know, self-serving perhaps, but in terms of service to the community, it's just not even on their radar. They don't know what it is. And yet true leadership involves the critical piece of that, is that ability to serve others and freely do it, you know, without any strings attached to it.
Absolutely, no sticky giving.
That's right, yes, yeah. Good expression.
Yeah. I just feel that if you go the extra mile in whatever you do, you're always going to be successful, right? Mm-hmm. Because people enjoy people who go the extra mile, and they feel it and they benefit from it. And I was just thinking while you were talking, you could probably give a talk on coaching.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, certainly leadership has fascinated me my whole life. Because it's ever changing. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. If you were to ask anybody, you know, how would you define leadership? It's incredibly difficult to do. But that's one of the things I enjoyed about Toastmasters, actually, because their motto is where leaders are made. So it's not where public speakers are made, it's where leaders are made, which is very different. And they have four core concepts, four fundamental things around that. And they use the acronym of RISE. So the you know, leaders need to have these elements in what they do. There must be respect for others, process, and themselves. There needs to be integrity. Absolutely, you know, you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You need to have service, which we've talked about already. And then if you've got those three in place, you can strive for excellence. So that RISE has been something that's been part of my life now since I've been in Toastmasters. And time and time again, I can see where those who practice that can be successful. Those who are missing chunks of that, they have fleeting success, but to sustain success as a leader, no, it doesn't work. You have to have all four.
Absolutely. We've got the title for your talk already. Rise up. I knew we'd get there. but it's interesting what you say about service, because you and I have both come from the UK to Canada. I don't know what age you were when you came, but I noticed that because I have this nonprofit and I've done various things like soliciting for auction items and so on, and having people to help us with events, I feel that the Canadian sort of mindset is very much about volunteering, way more than in the UK. I mean, I didn't do much of that in the UK, which is fair enough. But I do find that when I first came here, I would go to a shop and I'd ask if they'd like to be part of our event. And they would say, absolutely, yes, of course. And it was like, why didn't you ask us before, you know, had that sort of mindset. Yeah. And when you ask people to help with different events, yeah, sure, tell me what you need to do. It's very much part of the Canadian mentality, I find. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have. I have noticed that. Mm. No, it's very, very, very strong here. Now, I left England when I was 24, went to the Bahamas, but then went straight on to Canada after that. So But you know, and have gone back fairly frequently for visiting. So I would say that the Canadians, in general terms, are very willing that way.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about the younger generation. I think it's a little bit different there, and maybe it's because they're not being encouraged as much, or what? I don't know. And this is a statement that's not backed up by much data. It's just an anecdotal observation. But I would say that it's still something that we can continue to remind ourselves has enormous value for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The more we do this, the more constructive we are working together as a community.
Absolutely. And bringing that back to Grace Sinatz, who was one of your speakers this time around, her podcast that we just recorded, I mean, it just blew me away. She's, what, 15?
Yeah.
And she's probably, you know, stacked up more public service in the last little while than most people have seen in their entire lives. And that does fill me with a huge amount of confidence for the next generation in many ways. I'm sure there are quite a few Graces around. I think.
My theory out of the water completely. That you're right. I hear what Grace is. I was going to say she's exceptional.
Yes.
She is exceptional, but I don't think she's that exceptional. I'm sure there are many other kids who are doing that type of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure whether or not it's as deeply ingrained in people, the younger people, I'm talking about 20s and 30s,
yeah,
as perhaps it was when you're right, when I first came here, I was amazed at how people volunteered in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah. Beautiful, just beautiful. So now you are basically not TEDx Bear Creek Park anymore. Am I right? You're TEDx Surrey?
We're TEDx Surrey, yes.
And that took you to another level? Or?
Well, it's when I first wanted to build a TEDx in Surrey, I wanted the name TEDx Surrey, but they said, no, you can't just go to a major city. You have to earn your stripes. So first of all, you need to have your first year with 100 or fewer. And then if you then qualify to go to a larger event, it will be considered at that time. So basically it's taken us 3 years to get to the point where TED is comfortable with saying, this is an event that has some sustainability to it, that's proven itself, that's ready to go. It's got a major city designation. It's difficult for them. Like, you know, what if I do it for a year and then I think, I've had enough of this. And you know, the whole thing falls. So they want to know that it's going to go ahead. So for us, it's a huge step forward. We will always be proud of our roots as TEDx Bear Creek Park. And in the transition, it's going to be TEDx Surrey, formerly TEDx Bear Creek Park. but that's who we are now. And I think it will help us in a number of different ways as we move forward. It just makes a lot more sense. It raises our profile for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've definitely earned your stripes, that's for sure. So I didn't think to ask you this before, but do you have any favorite moments over the last few years with TEDx? All right. You've got time to think.
I think one of them would be after the 2020 event, we had an after party at the Bell Performing Arts Center, where speakers from 2019, which was our first year, and 2020 were there. And there was a lot, and it was just such a wonderful feeling in that group of people. There was just this, and everybody felt so proud to be associated, not only with what had just happened in the theater on that day, but with what had happened with TEDx Bear Creek Park as we move forward. And interestingly, since that time, we were looking to have the regular opportunity to get everybody together. And then the pandemic came along, so we've had no chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And our hope is for sure, if we're able to have the event at the Bell this year, you know, pandemic permitting, mm-hmm. That we will have an after party for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, will be that much bigger, but there'll be that chance for everyone to get together.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is funny. And my head went to this place where, you know, where you've been through something quite traumatic and you've all been through it together.
Yes,
it's a really nice feeling. Oh dear. And it's not that it was traumatic in a horrible sense. It was just that it was an event that pushes everybody to where they need to be. And I think maybe push is the wrong word. Pull might be a better word, and encouraged. And it was all, every one of your coaches has the most beautiful way of getting that person to the place where they need to be. But at the same time, it was a lot of work. And, you know, in my case, my biggest challenge was memorizing the words, because I'm dyslexic. I don't memorize. It's not my wheelhouse. And not having an audience, that was difficult, because sometimes when you're, when you're public speaking, it's rather lovely to be able to feed off their energy. So there were challenges, but it was something I am just so grateful for that opportunity, and so, so happy that I was able to go through that. So, Alan, I'm going to suggest that you tell everybody now when the next application process is open, so that they can have their TED Talk ready to go.
Okay. Our next event will take place on February the 19th, 2022, at the Bell Performing Arts Centre, everything being equal. Mm-hmm. We are looking at this time for prospective speakers. And we will have two information meetings taking place in September. Saturday, September the 11th, from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. That will be information session number one. The second one will be on Saturday, September the 18th, again 9:30 to 11:30, information session number two. People can come to both if they like, but these are free. You will need to register for these events. We are in the very final stages of launching our new TEDx website. And that should be up and running by the beginning of next week. And that's, where are we now? That's the beginning, August the 9th, where all the information is there. So prospective speakers can go there, they can see an FAQ on the whole process. They can see the application form, they can get all the details that they need for it at that point. But we really encourage people who are interested to go there, and then for sure to be at the information session, because at the information session, they will learn a lot. There'll be opportunity to meet the TEDx Surrey team, to get a taste of the TEDx speaker experience, to learn the four essential elements of a successful TEDx talk, and to find out more about the application process. So it's a critical piece.
Absolutely. So basically, by the time we've edited this podcast and it's on the air, so to speak, then the website will be up and running, and it'll be TEDxSurrey.ca. Fantastic. Wonderful. We'll make sure that that's on there, on all the information. So, Alan, I knew this would be fun. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. And do you have any last minute message for our listeners?
Not really. Well, one thing I would say to your listeners is the TEDx events are locally organized events, so that all the people involved in this, and people put in huge numbers of hours into it, are volunteers, and we really are designing it with the expectation that we can provide an outstanding experience for three different groups of people. First of all, our audience, also for our speakers, and for our TEDx volunteer teams. And we believe it's something that would help our community to move ahead, and we would strongly encourage people to come and join us on that day. It's a very special day. It will be, as I say, February 19th, 2022. And check in with our website as well. The details about ticketing and all that sort of stuff will be coming on. But we'd love to see you there, and love to feel that you could become a part of this growing community that we feel is making a significant difference in the city of Surrey.
It absolutely is. So thank you, Alan, so very, very, very much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you to everyone who's listening. Please subscribe, follow, share. And if you'd like to see what the whole Dyslexic Society is up to, go to www.thewds.org. We'd love to hear from you at info@thewds.org. And I hope that you've enjoyed this series of wonderful people who have experienced TEDx or who have coached TEDx or who have been through part of the organization. And until next time, take care, stay well, and bye for now.